إن الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Hufaz Ikram, elders and brothers in Islam, youngsters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us send Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. All praise belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has bestowed us with the wealth of iman, made us the reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman wa amitna ala al-iman wa ahshudna yawm al-qiyamati ma'a al-muttaqina ma'a al-iman. O Allah, keep us steadfast on iman. O Allah, let us face malak al-maut with iman. O Allah, rise us up on the day of qiyamah with iman. Ameen. Alhamdulillah to the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted me and over 2,500 Hujjaj from South Africa to go on this great journey, on this great safar, this pilgrimage, this faraz that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the pillars of Islam, that when a person has the means, he should make that intention and he should go. Those of us who have been for Hajj, have been for our Farad Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must still take us for Nawafil Hajj. We can do a Hajj Badal, and Hajj of our loved ones that have passed away. We can, and if they never do Hajj, then we can do Hajj on their behalf as well. So we should all make that intention, insha'Allah al-Aziz, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us for Hajj, insha'Allah. Ameen. A lot of people travel throughout the world. They see different countries throughout the world. Some countries are beautiful, alhamdulillah. The makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people travel throughout the world to see the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see the mu'jizat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in our country as well, alhamdulillah, we have so many beautiful places to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to increase that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, it's a different feeling altogether, subhanallah. You can see the most beautiful of places throughout the world, the wonders of the world you can go and visit. But when a person sets his eyes on the walls of Makkatul Mukarrama, of the Haramain Sharifain, looking at the green dome of Madinatul Munawwara, it creates a different feeling altogether. It creates that lazzat, that enjoyment. You feel calm. Even when looking at that structure, you feel calm, you feel at ease, you feel peaceful. We're looking at this Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, the Haramain Sharifain. It's blessed me and many Hujjaj from South Africa to go on this journey. So I'd like to share a few incidents that happened on my safar, inshallah al-Aziz. And by me mentioning these few incidents, it will give every single one of us that encouragement, inshallah, to go on this journey, to make that intention, to register with the so-called SAUK organization of South Africa. register, inshallah, if our call is there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely take us. Remember, if it's not the wealth that will take us, but everything happens with the hukam and the command of Allah. We make that sincere intention, dire intention to go, then most definitely Allah will be difficult in those days. My father-in-law, subhanallah, he did Hajj in 1971. He did Hajj in 1971. And he was just telling me that where they stayed in Mina, the hotel was right outside the Jamarat, subhanallah. The hotel was just there by the Jamarat. When you come up from the hotel, you're already by the small Jamarat. So 1971 was the last that he has been for Hajj. Yes, he went for Umrah, alhamdulillah, about 2 years ago. But Hajj he did in 1971. So as I was telling you all, my auntie, she had that intention that, no, I want to go for Hajj. So what she did was, about 14 years ago, she decided that the 5 rand coins, she's going to save those 5 rand coins. Whenever she comes across a 5 rand coin, she had a tin and she will put that 5 rand coin in the tin. And her intention, her desire was to go for Hajj. And you wouldn't believe it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much of barakat in those 5 rand coins. That in that same year she opened the tin and she started counting. She had over 60,000 rand. Subhanallah. She was amazed. She was shocked. She had enough for her husband and her to go for Hajj. Subhanallah. So brothers, if you make that sincere intention that we want to go to the Baytullah, we want to go to the Haramain Sharifain, the greatest place on earth, Makkatul Mukarrama, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to visit our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make that sincere intention. And make that desire, make that niyat, make dua also. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not only take me once, but Allah must take me every single opportunity. Every single year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if not for Hajj, then at least for Umrah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must take me every year to the Haramain Sharifain, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this dua of ours, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us every year, inshaAllah al-Aziz. Alhamdulillah, we went to Madinatul Munawwara. We spent 4 days in Madinatul Munawwara, 4 nights in Madinatul Munawwara, 5 days in Madinatul Munawwara. And with those millions of people, subhanAllah, you are the mihman of Allah, you are the guest of Allah. You know the TV when they're showing Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, and when they show you that crowd, the person says, how these people are managing, look at these millions of people, they're making tawaf. At times the mataf comes to a standstill, but yet you are the mihman of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a way for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the way for you. We were there in Madinatul Munawwara. When we landed first in Jeddah, we landed in the Hajj terminal. And our connecting flight was about 6 to 7 hours for our connecting flight to Madinatul Munawwara. And we sat outside the Hajj terminal. And it was about 38 degrees at that night. Subhanallah, we couldn't breathe. We were outside, the blowers were not working. And the bus fumes, we were kept outside. They said, no. Your connecting flight is at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're only allowed to enter the airport again at 12 o'clock at night. And we landed at 7 o'clock. So the few hours that we were there, we were outside. I just made shukr to Allah that we were not in the state of ihram. We were wearing normal clothes and we were sitting there. People were, there was one uncle, very old uncle, he passed out. Because of that heat, he couldn't breathe. And we had to fan him, we had to sprinkle water on him, give him water to drink. So we reach Madinatul Munawwara, alhamdulillah, we come to Madinatul Munawwara, as I mentioned, when you look at the green dome, when you look and you enter Masjidul Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it just creates a different feeling in your heart. You just want to cry and cry and cry. Peaceful and beautiful Madinatul Munawwara, subhanallah. We spent our 4 days there in Madinatul Munawwara, and through the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made it a duty that every single day we made it to the Rawdah Mubarak. We made it to the Rawdah Mubarak. Rawdah Mubarak is that place between the Qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Mihrab of Nabi, the Mimbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rawdatun min Riyadil Jannah. It is a garden from the gardens of paradise. That not mean some people say that, no, that carpet, that white carpet, that carpet is from Jannah. No, it's just that area from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the Mimbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is Rawdatun min Riyadil Jannah. When a person goes there, it is 2 rakats or 4 rakats or 6 rakats of salah. And he makes whatever dua, it is definitely accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my duas also, all the duas that I've made for every single musalli, every single ummati of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah accept it. And they got a very nice system, alhamdulillah. The system is that they have pens. So these pens, you go into this pen, about maybe like about 100, 150 people go in this pen. And these people stand in this pen, and then there's another pen behind us. So what they do is they give a time limit, say about 10 to 15 minutes. So in the 10 minutes, there is people already in the rawdah. So when the rawdah is complete, once you finish at the rawdah Mubarak, you come out and you make the salami to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a very nice system because you got your time, you can read 6 rakats of salah. You just have to be patient. Sometimes you wait for half an hour. But if you be patient, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it asan and easy for you. Then after you read the salah at the Rawdah Mubarak, then you go and you take your time also. And when you're making the salami, there is not much of people. So the guards are not really rushing you through to make the salami. So you can stand one end and send the salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and send salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on all those people who gave to convey that salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've got time to do that as well. So you come out. So when that group is out from the Rawdah Mubarak, they open one pen. But it's unfortunate that people don't have that sabr and that patience, and people really start pushing you from the back. At one stage I was in the air, on my fingertips, on my toes. And I'm standing on my toes and this crowd is pushing me. Allahu Akbar, the way that crowd was pushing me towards the Rawdah Mubarak when they opened that pen, I don't know how, I floated like about 10 meters, I floated and I just landed right there at the mihrab of Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people push you all the time, they'll be pushing you, and that's why they say you must take your 10 bags and 15 bags of sabr. It's because of the crowd. And now when they open in the pen to go into the next pen, there's about 3 pens before you come to the Rawdah Mubarak. And the person who is in front of the pen, he gets it from the 150, 200 people pushing him from the back. So you find that when you're coming to the pen, and you're opening the pen to enter the new pen, the people in the front, they lift up their hands like to press brakes. You know, like stop pushing, enough now. So you can just see their hands going up like press your brakes, press your brakes. And then they do not go past the pen. Alhamdulillah, Madinatul Munawwara, beautiful Madinatul Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat. At Thursday morning, it was our time now to don our ihram and to leave towards Makkatul Mukarrama. We donned our ihram, we did our salah, we made our dua, and we started our labbaik, and we were on our way to Makkatul Mukarrama. And alhamdulillah, when we stopped on our way there, they had a nice musalla there, the toilets also were very clean. Alhamdulillah, there's a big difference from people who went before 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, 2 years ago when they went for Hajj. There's a major difference now. Alhamdulillah, the Saudi government has put in more pressure with regards to the cleanliness of the toilets. If you look at Arafat also, Mina, Muzdalifah, alhamdulillah, very nice, just like before. And in fact, when we were in Arafat, I'm just skipping a few chapters. When we were in Arafat, and the ulama, Muna Olga, Muna Abbam Sahab, Adam Barakatu, they used to always make this ilan, they used to say, oh mothers, please don't be afraid and please hydrate yourself. Because you find that people, they don't want to drink the water, they don't want to hydrate themselves because they don't need to go to the toilet. So you should prevent themselves from going to the toilet. And while we were in Arafat, subhanAllah, it was like 48 degrees on that day. People were dropping like flies, fainting. And alhamdulillah, Sauk was there and people were going on drips. And they were on medication, trying to hydrate themselves. So they said, they made this elan continuously that please hydrate yourself continuously because of the heat. And you're losing a lot of liquid with the perspiration. A lot of salt from your body is coming out in your perspiration. So you must hydrate yourself a lot. Alhamdulillah, we come to Makkatul Mukarrama, back to where I was. We come to Makkatul Mukarrama Thursday. We came Thursday night. By the time we checked in our hotel room, alhamdulillah, we went to Khidmatul Awam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant jazai khair to all the khadims of Khidmatul Awam. They did a terrific job when we came. They made our istiqbal in Madinatul Munawwara, our istiqbal in Jeddah Airport, and also in Makkatul Mukarrama, they made our istiqbal as well, made us comfortable, showed us all the ropes and showed us the different avenues, what to do, when you can go for Umrah. And some of the group were going at night. So I was very tired. So I told my sister, no, we will go in the morning after Fajr Salah. We will go make our Umrah. And alhamdulillah, we went. It was Friday morning. And a lot of people were scared because normally the crowd, the haram closes at about 9:30 in the morning because of the crowd and the haram gets full. So we went, alhamdulillah, after Ishraq, we started our Umrah. And by about 8:30, subhanAllah, about 1.5 hours, with ease and comfort, with itminan, we made our Umrah. and we were done. We went back to the hotel room. We still had a shower, put on our clothes, and we went back to the haram at about 9:30 in the morning. We went back before the doors closed, and we were there. The hardest thing was not the umrah, but to sit in the haram for 3.5 to 4 hours waiting for the Jummah bayan to start. Because now throughout the haram, there is no carpets, there is no rugs. So you're sitting on that marble floor. And when you're sitting there for the 2 hours, 3 hours, now you want to keep your wudu, you don't want to fall off to sleep. So then you stand for a couple of minutes, you sit back down, you try and make conversation with the brother next to you to try and keep yourself occupied, keep yourself awake. And that was the greatest jihad, subhanAllah, because you know if you're going to break your wudu, you have to leave your place and go make wudu. And when you leave your place is gone. No one is going to keep your place for you. Even if you leave a musalla there, if you leave a tasbih there, that place is not going to be left for you. You're going to come back. No, Haji, there's no place. Go somewhere else. So you're going to lose out your place. Alhamdulillah, we made Umrah. We made Tawaf as much as possible. And come the first of Zulhijjah, it was our time now to move to Aziziyah. And if you look towards that end part, towards coming closer to Zulhijjah, subhanAllah, when you see that crowd of people, it's good that we left for Aziziyah. Because there's no place to move. After Salah, you have to wait like about 1.5 hours for you to leave the haram to get to your hotel room. And the safs continuing from the haram, coming right up to the hotel room and even past the hotel room on the road, the safs were there. But alhamdulillah, it's not as bad as Umrah in the month of Ramadan. For Ramadan, they have no quota system, so there's much more people. But come Hajj, there is a quota system, 2.5 to 3 million people. That's not counting those that came illegally to perform the Hajj. They say that you must count about 300,000 people who come illegally. And the message went out before Hajj that about 140,000 people were sent back to their countries, were sent back home because they have come for Hajj without the right permits and they've come for Hajj without a Hajj visa. So alhamdulillah, when we went to Aziziyah in the 7 days, we stayed there before Hajj. It was good, it was relaxing. But the group decided on that Monday, the 2 days before Hajj could start, to do a dry run. Dry run meaning take the group and go for a walk to your camp in Mina and come back to Aziziyah. So my sister told me, you know, she wants to go for that dry run. I said, no, let's relax here and go learn your du'as in your room for Hajj and learn the Masla Masai properly. I'm not going to go for this dry walk because we're going to see it on Wednesday any which way. So we decided to stay. Alhamdulillah, we had the biggest group, Khidmat al-Awam. Our 649 Hujjaj were with Khidmat al-Awam. So quite a few members went on this dry run. And they walked for about 8 to 10 kilometers. And about 5 or 6 of the Hujjaj fainted because of the heat. They left 8 o'clock in the morning, they only came at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they regretted going for the dry run because they walked for over 8 to 10 kilometers. So Hajj started on that Wednesday, alhamdulillah, to be further in the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We went to Mina. And they say they got non-special service and they got a special service. Special service about 14,000 rand a person. So if you're going with your wife, it's 28,000 rand for special service for your 5 days of Hajj. Or 4 days of Hajj. So we were at the non-special service. And it was absolutely far from the Jamarat. We couldn't even see the Jamarat from where we were. It was in 1 hour walk from the camp till the Jamarat. And after you pelt, you have to walk another hour till the Jamarat. So it was, we were at the boundary of Muzdalifah. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that good health and we managed it, alhamdulillah. But we decided to take the bus from Mina to Arafat. We took the bus, we reached Arafat, alhamdulillah, at about 10 o'clock in the morning. It was in time for our wukuf at Zawal. So we're relaxing and then after a while, the khadims came and they said, no, brothers, stand in your safs in your camp and make more place for the brothers to come in into the camp and make more place for us. So we made the place, we all stood in the saf as in salah, and we just lay down there waiting for the wukuf to start. And then obviously it is sunnah to make ghusl in Arafat. So I went to the toilet, alhamdulillah, we made ghusl in the toilet. And then we're coming back and I can see the commotion there that's going on with a couple of agents and with Sauk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants Sauk hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must, if it cannot be abolished, because of the Muassasa rules, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must put such people in charge that are there to look after the South African Hujjaj and not there to put the money into their pockets. Because every single one of us, we pay 120 rand to register and 1,400 rand for Haji. So there's obviously about, it's approximately 3.5 million rand that goes to Sauk. Then before we could leave, they demanded to give us fireproof tents in Arafat. Muassasa demanded 700 rand each. We all paid the 700 rand, but when we go to Arafat, that whole section of Arafat, they don't have fireproof tents, they have tarp over to shade. And that tarp only came after 1.5 hours when we were sitting there. So when I go to that commotion to see what is happening, and I can hear the agents arguing with Sauk, and what was the argument about that 1,000 South African Hujjaj didn't have a place to sit in Arafat. 1,000 Hujjaj, they were standing in the sun, they were tying the top part of the Hiram to get some shade. There was no place because apparently the group that came in from one of the African countries and occupied that area. And that area was designated for South Africa only. So this was the argument with Sauk, and Sauk said, no, it's not our responsibility, it's Muassasa's responsibility. When you ask Muassasa, Muassasa says, no, it's Sauk's responsibility. And Sauk refused to take any blame whatsoever. They refused to acknowledge their wrong by securing the camp for the South Africans. And when they were asked that why the camp was not secure, they say that, no, you're South Africans, you like everything comfortable, you like to be comfy, and you don't like to come early to Arafat. But the masla is that we Hanafis and Shafis, we have to make Fajr Salah at least 5 times Salah in Mina before we come to Arafat. And our wukuf in Arafat only starts at Zawal. So they refuse to accept that. So we need to make lots of dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abolishes the Sauk, the people of Sauk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant hidayat to the agents that are going out and they're using this as a business, like how Qurbani, it has become a business, na'udhu billah, that people use this to earn a quick buck, not looking at the khidmat for the people, but rather looking at their own pockets. You find some of the agents also, they do that, they book your ticket for you, they book you a 5-star, when you go there, it's not a 5-star, it's a 3-star. When you're booking for your own couple room in Azizia, you're paying 16,000 rand, you go in that room, you can't even sit in that room is so small. And when you ask the agent, so everyone's room is the same, but that's not the case. It is total opposite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him hidayat, inshaAllah al-Aziz, ameen. So we were there in Arafat, we made that wukuf, it was very hot, it was extremely hot in Arafat. And from Arafat we left to Muzdalifa, and Muzdalifa is not like before where it's free for all. Muzdalifa is caged up, every country has a designated area in Muzdalifa. If you're taking the bus from Arafat, a D3 bus will pick you up. It will drop you off at the D3 gate at Muzdalifa. And that section, that block is designated for you. And every block has its own toilet and wudu facilities, alhamdulillah. So it's not like before where toilet was an issue, where ghusl was an issue, where wudu was an issue. Alhamdulillah, it was, everything is provided for and much more easy, alhamdulillah. When we were in Arafat, the Saudi government put the electricity off at 5 o'clock. And at Maghrib time, just after Maghrib, the water was cut off so that the people can move. And our bus only decided to come at 10 o'clock in the night to come and pick us up from Arafat. So we were sitting there, we were sitting ducks in Arafat, waiting for the buses to come and pick us up. And we approached Sauk. Sauk says, no, it's Muassasa's problem. And he approached Muassasa. Muassasa says, no, Sauk decided to send a call for the buses late. So there is a game that's going on between Muassasa and Sauk. Allah knows what is the haq, what is the truth behind it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj of every single hujjaj. Inshallah, there is so much to say. Those brothers that want to hear more, who want to find out more about the trip, feel free to come home. Inshallah, 39 North Road. We've got Khajur and Zamzam for you all as well. So come home, inshallah. We'd like to share these stories with you. It'll be a means of encouragement for every single one of us, inshallah, to make that intention to go for hajj. Make lots of dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you, inshallah, al-Aziz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us all for the khidmat and the service of deen, inshallah, al-Aziz. Just a few announcements. The first announcement, we all know about our Muslim brothers and sisters that are going through so much of taklif, that are going through so much of pain, so much of anxiety, so much of torture in Rohingya province in Burma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it asan and easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease them of the difficulty and the pain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us also from such calamities, from such atrocities being thrown at us, from the government. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And we are so fortunate, make lakh lakh shukr, that we are in our country, that we can follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so freely and so openly. Just today I went and met with the principal of Impangeni High School regarding the burqa for the girls to wear at school. Alhamdulillah, they found no problems with it. They approached the government as well. The government said there is no issues at all. So humble appeal is, if our daughters are going to school, there is no such thing that no, they are not allowed to wear the burqa. There is no such thing that they know they are not allowed to wear pants. And there is no such thing as for men, for boys to grow their beards. Alhamdulillah, we have a freedom of religion in our country. Use it, embrace it, and make qadr of it. For other countries of the world, they are not allowed to do so. So a humble appeal is to encourage our boys to grow their beards. A humble appeal is to encourage our daughters to wear that scarf to school, and for our boys also to wear their pants above their ankles, to wear the topi and go to school. There is no issues, there is no problems with that. And also for our girls as well to wear pants when they go to school. There is no issues at the schools whatsoever. But obviously the school did request that those girls that are wearing the burqa to wear the color of the uniform, which in Pangeni High, which is navy blue, to wear that color of the burqa. Otherwise it's going to be like a service every day in the school. Girls will be wearing different colors scarves. So they requested that the girls who do wear scarves and they want to come to school, then they can wear the navy blue, which matches their uniform. So humble appeal is for brothers to please make qadr of this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use it to our maximum, inshallah al-Aziz. The third announcement is our ijtima, inshallah, which is taking place next week at Overport. The bus trip is there, is written on the board. Those brothers want to go with the bus, kindly fill in your names, then we know exactly how many buses to get and what size bus to get as well. A humble appeal for every single one of us to take out the time and that effort for next weekend, inshallah, to attend this ijtima, to help us renew our iman, to increase the level of our iman, to not only go to the ijtima, but sit for the programs at the ijtima, inshallah, we will benefit tremendously. And thirdly, also, fourthly, the last and final announcement is that a humble appeal is for every single musalli of our masjid, that when we come for salah, please brothers, make sure your pants are above your ankles. Make sure that if you are wearing three-quarter pants, that it's covering your knees. And why you wear three-quarter pants when you come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You wear such clothing to visit your Allah Rabbul Izzah, which you will not wear when you're going for weddings, and you're going for walimas, and you're going for functions. Here we are coming to the masjid, we are communicating with our Allah Rabbul Izzah. We have to wear the best of attire when we are meeting with our Allah Rabbul Izzah. So let us dress accordingly when we come to the masjid. If you are wearing short sleeve, kindly wear a jubba. There's jubbas available, put a jubba on. There are topis also available. I mentioned this numerous of times. There is no hadith that mentions that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not wear a topi. This has become a norm now in our society. So before it gets even worse, a humble appeal is for every single one of us to wear a topi when reading our salah. And when we are wearing a shirt, make sure that our shirt is tucked in our pants if there is no jubbas available. Because when we are going into sajda, our sattar is showing. When our sattar is showing, our namaz becomes batil. Our namaz becomes batil. And also make sure that our pants are above our ankles, because when our pants are below our ankles, we're dragging the dirt from outside the masjid, we are bringing it in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So kindly ensure, we know the masla, we know the prerequisites of a person when he comes for salah, what needs to be done. So kindly, a humble appeal is to put that knowledge that we have into practice, inshallah. May Allah give us the tawfiq.